the Disney vault. Yeah. How about that?
Oh, yeah. You mean false scarcity? Yeah.
False scarcity.
Bullshit. Yeah. I thought the days of the Disney vault was over back when they were like, the promise of streaming is you can access anything, anytime. Just kidding. Nope. We're deleting them all. You can never see them again. If you see them, we have to pay the IRS back. So these are dead now. They're dead. You can't watch Willow. Bye. Fuck you.
Right. That is the question, right? Of like, what's going to happen? You know, the open-ended as the WGA is still on strike. Like, what is this new epoch of like home entertainment and cinema going to look like? I feel like the only one that sounds like it will happen is all companies will have Disney vaults.
Yeah.
And instead of just, you know, quietly taking things on Netflix or whatever, they'll do what Disney did. They'll just be like, hey, everybody.
Did you want to watch The Godfather? Now's your chance. You have 1 month.
And we will literally make it so no one can watch The Godfather for the next year and a half. So
this is a conspiracy. This is the Lionsgate.
Lionsgate gate.
Every time I think of Lawrence of Arabia now, when the second Sex and the City movie came out.
Strong transition.
My friend Gabe introduced me to this guy who had just seen it. He goes, at one point, Kim Cattrall looks at a guy who's wearing like a whole Arabian outfit. And she goes, talk about Lawrence of Mylabia. And then he said the entire theater went like nuts laughing, and he said, I've never felt more empty inside in my life. I think about
neither
that.
Did Kim Cattrall probably knowing how much she hates that show.
Every time I hear Lawrence of Arabia referenced, I think of this guy I only met once sitting there like, hello darkness my old friend. It's just like a bunch of moms and like horny aunts are just like cackling around him in slow
when
motion.
When I was living in LA and I went to the Cine Family one time, and the guy was introducing the movie, and he's like, this is the Lawrence of Arabia of gore movies. And I screamed from the audience, Lawrence of Gorabia? Big laugh. Gorance of Arabia? Bigger laugh. And yes. I have never felt more proud of myself or more
equipped. And then everyone lifted you up over there. Yeah. Greg.
And then they said, you're directing the movie now.
Do you know what's funny is the two stories, I think, show that for any crowd, there is a Lawrence of Arabia pun that will kill. But it won't kill in every crowd.
No, but find the one that works for you. Now we just have to end that bit with blowing out a match and transitioning to the next part of our conversation. I've fallen down such a dumb IMDb wormhole, but Sho, who's played by Christopher Neame, was additional ADR voice group for The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Ooh. Of which the actor who plays Imhotep is not. Arnold Vosloo is not in it. But I like to imagine
what's
him
his
being...
name?
Which one? Imhotep?
Imhotep.
Arnold Vosloo.
That last name has too many vowels for me to remember. I'm sorry.
slides off your mind.
If you got a double O at the end of your name, my brain, that's what happens. It goes Vosloo out, right out of my head.
But I like to picture him now in that ADR group and like suddenly falling down that same wormhole and be like, you know, I worked with Arnold Vosloo back in the 1899 and like, well, he's not in this. Well, I know. I just thought I'd point it out. All right, let's do this.
Yeah, he's the one who typed that into his own IMDb.
Yes.
It's stupid as hell, but I like that Swayze's like, I lost my wife. And she's like, I lost my husband. And together they're the Tuscan Raidy Bunch. The Raidy Bunch.
It's just the tiniest grid where it's him and her and the dog and Jux, and in the middle is Tark as Alice being like, how did I get here?
He was bringing up three very lovely dudes.
The funniest thing I've ever seen out there in reality, in the real world, was at a mall FYE when I was looking through the martial arts section, and I found Murder on the Orient Express. Was it laziness? Was it racism? The answer is yes.
I love that. I love thinking about how that ended up there.
Right. Was it a joke? Was it a 16-year-old FYE employee right. that saw the word Orient and was like, yep, sure. I know exactly where this goes, right after Mortal Kombat.
Now I'm just thinking about Paul W.S. Anderson's Murder on the Orient Express.
Yo.
How many characters are played by Mila Jovovich?
That would be so sick.
I'm on board.
I think we know what it would be like because of his Three Musketeers movie, which is...
Oh, I've never watched that one.
Oh, it's Coco Bananas, dude. You gotta watch that movie.
I love Paul W. S. Anderson. I love his insanity.
I also love the idea of Mila Jovovich doing a Seven Phases of Dr. Lowe style movie.
Yes.
Yeah. The reveal at the end is a sequence of like 30 Mila Jovoviches stabbing one Mila Jovovich.
See, I've talked about this with Josh before, but I love that he fits into one of my favorite genre of directors, which is look at my hot wife. I love directors who just keep casting their hot wives in their movies.
We were just talking about Paul W.S. Anderson yesterday on 4th of July at the barbecue.
Oh, God bless America.
When it was brought up that he's married to Mila Jovovich, I was not the only one that went, oh, yeah, the underworld movies aren't my thing. And we had to be reminded that, nope, that's Kate Beckinsale.
That's the other Look at My Hot Wife director.
Yeah. Oh, now I can't think of anything but Mila Jovovich with the Poirot mustache.
J'accuse.
J'accuse.
You like it, the Orient Express?
Yeah, I like it, the Orient Express.
Orient Express is very good. What, a little murder? I like this movie that we've made up better than Steel Dawn.
I mean,
hard to argue with that.
I like Steel Dawn, but yeah, thinking of Mila Jovovich pointing accusations at another Mila Jovovich. She was your daughter! And you are in love with her.
J'accuse moi!
Perhaps a former army colonel, Mila Jovovich with a monocle being like, oh dear.
Kind hearts and Jovovich. Josh, because kind hearts and coronets, Alec Guinness plays all the characters.
Alec Guinness plays all the major characters?
Yep, sure does. I think it's like 31 characters or something.
Jesus Christ, why do people do
Apparently
that?
Apparently the movie rules, I haven't watched it.
Huh?
But no mention of the Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
Or the clumps.
Sorry. Okay, so far away from everything, right? There was a Academy Awards where they did these interstitials where they had these black and white interviews with all, you know, the year's big actors and asking them about what film performances, like, moved them. And everyone, you know, had some... You know, Laurence Olivier and blah, 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 and Orson Welles, of course, blah, 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 and Meryl Streep. Who can't say enough about Meryl Streep and blah, blah, blah? You know, all the names that deserve to be spoken about. It must have been 2009, because also up there was Sam Worthington, so I assume Avatar must have been in the mix, or maybe the year after Avatar, right? And Sam Worthington goes, honestly? Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor. Everyone's like, no one did what Peter O'Toole could do, blah, blah, blah. And then Sam Worthington being like, how did Eddie Murphy play all those characters?
That's when Sam Worthington got banned from the Oscars.
If the Oscars banned him for that, that's just revealing what a evil and frankly unimportant institution it's become. That is artistry. Sam Worthington's right. That is crazy.
How did he do all those characters?
I don't know. I think it's nutty.
Yeah. Just a bunch of Eddie Murphys, a leading lady, and some kid all farting in a room. And yet there's like 18 characters on screen. That is true cinema.
Movie magic.
Oh, God. We haven't even done the book report yet.
No, we have not.
Oh God!
Strong start. Why even do the normal podcast?
Yeah, no,
let's do this for an hour.
Video high.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.